All right, everybody, welcome on back here. Brother Carlos coming to you live all the way from the Barrio Baptist Church. No, I'm just playing, everybody. Brother Carlos here on behalf of Simple Faith Baptist Church here in Oceanside, California, coming all the way to you live from the Barrio, my house, cool little home studio, trying this out for the very first time. Today's little quick nugget topic of discussion: is Jesus God? Question mark. What does the Bible say? Well, you're going to always hear this from me as Brother Carlos. The Bible says, and then we're going to go to it. Look at what the Bible tells me here and tells you in the book of John, chapter number 1. Of course, reading out of the King James Bible, y'all, get it straight. Bible tells us here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So far, you got two subjects or two nouns being identified here. The first of is the Word. The second is God. The first thing of the Word is that it was in the beginning. The second thing that we see of the Word is that it was united or joined with God. And then the last third portion of the verse 1 here is that it states that the Word was God. So two things: distinct from God in the second part of the verse, and in the third part, was God. That is the nature of God, the Word of God. I want to find out who this Word is. Keep going down here. Verse number 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Okay. All things were made by Him. You like that, huh? That's what the Bible says. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So now, who are we referring to in verse number 3? Well, none other than verse number 1 in the Bible. You see, the Apostle John wrote this, and he is acknowledging the Word from verse number 1, that all things were made by Him. But now the personal pronoun Him is identified with the Word, or as the Word. So now we know that the Word took on a human form, took on a form other than this eternal, distinct being identified as the Word. And we're going to find out who that Word is if we keep reading. Verse number 4, the Bible says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, John the Apostle is not talking about himself. For those of you guys who study Bible or read a little bit here and there, he's referring to John the Baptist. I think many of you guys remember John the Baptist. He says here in verse number 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So the Bible tells you and I here, John the Baptist was sent to bear witness of the light. You see capital light there. Noun, personal pronoun. That light is also a reference to the Word. And again, we just saw from verse 3 that the Word takes upon him, takes upon the masculine personal pronoun, him. So now John the Baptist is going to be testifying, he's going to be preaching, he's going to be proclaiming something about this Word so that people might believe in him, the Word. Verse number 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Whoa! So not only did the Bible tell you and I that this Word that was in the beginning with God, and also was God, has this amazing role in your birth and my birth. Bible tells you and I in verse number 9 that this light, that this Word, whoever he is, we're going to find out in a couple of verses, he lightens every man that cometh into this world. You see, that Bible's true. I believe it. That's why, aside from the stupid, evil, wicked theory of evolution, you have a purpose, friend, because according to the God of this Bible, he lightened you coming into this world. He gave you enough light. I'll explain it that in our second little cool fun segment, but God has given you enough light, that is enough knowledge to know that he exists. Deep down inside, you know you have a conscience, you know right from wrong, and we can cross-reference Romans chapter 1 for that. Bible says he was in the world. Oh, did you see there? He. So verse 3, him. Verse 10, he. So now he's a particular person now. You can't get around it. He was in the world. So this Word, this eternal Word that was with God, this eternal Word that was God, verse number 1, came into this world. The world was made by him. Oh, so now this Word of God that was God is now the one who, according to verse number 10, created the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Not to get too crazy to put too much information out there, but we're going to find out here that this word, when he was born into the people group called the Jews, the Hebrew people. And so verse number 10 is just simply referring to when he came into his own, that is the people of Israel, the physical called out people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They did not receive him. They did not believe him. And so keep on going. Verse number 12, but as many as received him. So now this word, this amazing creator of the world, this amazing being that gives you light coming into this world, if you receive him, verse number 12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So now the word has a name. Oh yeah, we're gonna keep reading, we're gonna keep finding out here, but it's clear so far from our text, friends, that the Bible tells you and I that this eternal word was with God, this eternal word was God. He came into this world, he was born, and yes, we're referring to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll show you in a few verses. And that if you receive Jesus Christ, you believe in his name, he, Jesus Christ, will give you the power to become a son of God. That's pretty cool. So for those that didn't receive him, unfortunately, they were not going to be able to receive this sonship of God. But if you receive him, people have, I have. That Bible tells me that right now, because I believed in his name, I am a son of God. Hope you are. Keep going. Verse number 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Verse number 14, and the word was made flesh. So that is, the word took upon himself human form. Whenever you see that scripture referencing the flesh or stuff like this, it's referring to literally flesh, like body. And so this word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So the word possessed glory, hence he's from everlasting. He was with God and he was God. So whoever this word is, he is a glorious person. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So now this word has an amazing relationship with God the Father. We'll talk about God the Father in another segment, but just know that the Godhead of the Bible, that's three times in your King James Bible, the word Godhead is used, denotes what traditionally people know as the Trinity. There is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triunity of God. God the Father sent the Son, who his name also is the Word. That's what John is identifying him as, the Word, and you can read that in the book of Revelation, into the world. And in none other than the famous verse, John 3:16, Jesus himself said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So this Word has an amazing eternal relationship with the Father. I don't know about you, but if there's nobody else closer to God than the Word, I'd rather go through whoever he is in order to get me close to God. Can I get an amen, anybody out there? So Jesus Christ, he is so close to the Father. He came from the Father, and he tells you and I through the writing of John the Apostle here that if you believe in him and you receive him into your heart as your Savior, he can bring you to the Father. He gives you the power to become a son of his Father. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. No other religious man ever claimed to have this amazing unity with God other than Jesus Christ himself. Keep going down. John bear witness of him. So again, John the Baptist, of him, again, the person, the word. So he became a man, and he was identified as a man, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So in the first 17 verses, friend, of John chapter 1 out of our King James Bible, we identified who the Word is. It clearly explains itself without getting technical with a knowledge of a foreign language. I can trust my English Bible. And number two, we can see the distinction between the Word and God. So we know they're separate. But number three, we know that they're united as it pertains to nature, because you can see there in verse number 14, we behold this glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. This glory that the Word possesses perfectly represents the Father to mankind, because if you keep reading in verse number 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So whoever this Son is, whoever this eternal Word is, a couple things that he did. Number one, he created the world. Number two, he enlightens every man that cometh into the world. That is, every baby that is born. You know what that Bible says in Romans 1? He gave you enough light. He gave you a conscience. You know right from wrong. You can also read that in Romans chapter 2. Jesus Christ is the eternal Word that God the Father sent into this world to be born as a man in order to do something special for you and I. So far in John chapter 1, I've read it. It's right over, right up there. I've just read those verses, you know, right over there in this area, that Jesus Christ is God. We identified his name, Jesus Christ. We see that he is the only begotten Son. Again, King James Bible. Hope you have the King James Bible. Every other verse will read like the modern perverted Jehovah's Witness Bible, the only begotten God. He is not a separate, distinct God. He is the only begotten Son, okay? So that's his relationship to God. So God desired for man to know who he is, since no one else can identify him as perfectly as the Word, that is the Son. He sent him into this world, and it is when you look to the Son, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, you would perfectly see God. Two more places, and we'll call it a quick night here. Let's go to John chapter number 14. Now, by the time that Jesus obviously matured and grew in physical stature and age, he began to do some amazing things, like start some ministries and do a lot of amazing things for the people of Israel and other folks out there. And eventually, he gained a following, and he had 12 disciples close to him that he chose to do some miraculous things to confirm who he was to the people. Now, some of these folks are beginning to get a little heavy-hearted towards the end of his life as he tells them that he's about to die. He's about to be betrayed, but he's going to rise from the dead. Chapter 14, verse 1, the Lord says here, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." So, believe in God. Obviously, there is a father-son relationship there. Jesus does not seem to be identifying any problem whatsoever between worshiping God and worshiping him. As a matter of fact, he calls on both worship. Worship God, believe in God, worship me, believe in me. Hence, the triunity of the Godhead of the Bible, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, these three are one. 1 John 5:7 out of our King James Bible. That proves to me that I can worship Jesus Christ, and that's not going to contradict, or that's not going to blaspheme or cause sacrilege by worshiping God, because God desired for men to come unto him through Jesus Christ, his Son, as we saw earlier in verse number 12. He says here, "In my Father's house." So again, he's claiming that God is his Father, and he can, because he came from the Father. I mean, he was in eternity, came into time. Bible says, "Are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's awesome. Jesus not only gives you the power to become a son of God if you ask him to save you and ask him to be your savior, but number two, he even promises to house you in eternity forever. I mean, that's awesome. That's why I love the Jesus of the Bible, the God of the Bible, because he promises me so many things by simply trusting in him and his words. Isn't that amazing? Verse number 4, "And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." So Thomas saith unto him, "Lord," this is one of his disciples, "we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" This is what Jesus said, you know, the one sent from God, you know, the eternal word of God, the one that created all things, the one who lightens every man in the world. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So now that isolates salvation. What does that mean? That means that salvation is now narrow. So the God of the Bible, the creator of heavens and earth, came down in the person of Jesus Christ. That is, in that body that was prepared in that womb of Mary, he inhabited, he dwelt in. And here is what he is declaring to the whole world, John chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. He came into his own, he came into this world, and these are the words of God coming out of his own mouth. You cannot go to heaven outside of him. You cannot enter into heaven outside by any other means, by what he's revealed and offered. You can't get to heaven by trying to be a good Catholic, a good Baptist, a good Pentecostal, a good atheist, a good husband, a good wife. The only way that you can enter into God's heaven is if you receive and believe Jesus Christ. Ask him to be your Savior. Personally receive him into your heart. Then Jesus will give you the power to become a son of God, because you've trusted him. You've allowed him to be your Savior, to save you from your sin, because later on we're going to find out he died on a cross to save you. That's an awesome opportunity. He died on a cross to offer you an opportunity of salvation. But keep going. He says in verse number 7, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him." And watch this cool part here, King James Bible, "and have seen him." How awesome is that? Jesus declared to mankind, if you've seen me, you've clearly seen God. If you've seen me, you've seen God. Verse number 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. You know, naturally, somebody's following Jesus, you know, this fellow that grew up in your local neighborhood, everybody knows he's the son of the carpenter, but then he comes out after 30 years of age, after an amazing trial in a desert, and he begins to tell the world, I am God, I am the Messiah that's been awaited by the people of Israel. Look at me, look at my works, believe in my works that I am who I am. God sent me, look at all these great things. And then one of his disciples, because again, human nature, you know, doubt. He just said, okay, Lord, I believe you, but you know what? How about you just show me God, and I think that'll suffice. You know, like, obviously, we just kind of get a glimpse of, you know, the God up there. I think everything will be solid. But here's what Jesus said, the Jesus of the Bible. In verse number 9, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Who is that? Man, Jesus, he is the eternal word. He is that one that lights every man that comes into the world. He is the one that created the world. All things were made by him. He is that. Philip, you don't know me yet? How long have I been with you? He said here, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You know what Jesus said? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen God. Why? Because Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He is the express and perfect image of who God is. Verse number 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. How about that? Two more places. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 1, and then we'll go to 1 Timothy. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm showing you all this from the Bible. I mean, y'all can read it, right? Right up there. This is so cool. I'm doing this for the very first time. This is awesome. Got the green screen back here. I can read the Bible and point to like some cool verses and words. All right, anyways, I'm excited. Here we go. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So again, when you consider the people of Israel, we get the Bible from them. Remember that unto them were given the oracles. You can read that in Romans chapter 3, verse 3. We get the New Testament written by the apostles. But the writer of Hebrews is just reminding the people of, you know, the recipients of this letter. Hey, you know God? Yeah, you know that Almighty Jehovah? He spake in time past through many ways, you know, many means by the prophets. They all know who they are, you know, Jeremiah, Isaiah, etc., etc. But, look at verse number 2, had in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So what does that tell me? The writer of Hebrews has a clear understanding of who God was, the God of the Old Testament, you know, the God of the Hebrews, the God of Israel. Almighty Jehovah himself that appeared to Moses back there in the book of Exodus, that gave them the law, etc., etc. And it's clearly understood by the end of the first century that there is this Godhead, there is this triunity relationship with Jesus Christ and God Almighty, Jehovah. That is, that when you look to Jesus, you would believe in him. It would not take away any worship to God. As a matter of fact, it completed your worship to God, because this is what the scriptures prophesied, that God would come in a body of flesh. He would be born. And now we know through his own words, Jesus Christ, that he is what he says he is. He is the Son of God, etc., etc. So now that's what was culturally understood by the Christians of the day. I'm not going to argue with the Bible writers. If you're a Jehovah's Witness listening to me, if you're one of these other cult members listening to me, you got to trust the Bible. I'm trying my best to pull you out of that fire, but keep going. Bible says, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. How about that? Now you got two places that identify that Jesus Christ created the world. You got John chapter 1, and you got the writer of Hebrews. How about that? Verse number 3. Who, again, talking about the Son, talking about Jesus Christ, being the brightness of his glory, that is the glory of the Father, John chapter 1, verse 18, and the express image of his person, John chapter 14, and upholding all things by the word of his power, Jesus Christ possesses power of himself, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, and hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Why? Because he is the eternal word, and he is that Son of the Father. We now clearly understand by the teachings of Jesus and the writings of the New Testament writers, the apostles, that there is this relationship between Jesus and the Father, the eternal word, and the Father. Verse number 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. You see, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they trust tradition and religions of men more than the Bible. And every other person who believes that Jesus Christ is just a created being, they don't believe the Bible, they don't believe the scriptures, as I'm clearly reading to you right up, oh, right there, there's my little cutoff, right up there, okay? If you trust the Bible, you believe the Bible, I'm telling you, you will do well, friends. So just read along with me. All the angels, God prophesied back in that Old Testament that they would worship Jesus, the Son. Why? Because he made the world. He created all things. And by virtue of his eternal relationship as co-creator, of course, all that is created is going to also equally worship Jesus Christ. And of the angels, he said, to make it his angel spirits, and his ministers of flame and fire. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now this is wild, guys. Now this is wild. Because the Jehovah's Witnesses, they may get saved tonight watching this video. They may want to call me and say, Brother Carlos, I need to get baptized. I truly now believe in the Jesus of the Bible, that he is God, because the Bible tells me so. You know what that Bible just told you there in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8? God the Father, Almighty Jehovah, had this amazing, eternal, everlasting conversation with the Word. And now the writer of Hebrews is quoting an old psalm. And in that psalm, this is his conversation. Unto the Son he saith, this is God Almighty Jehovah talking to the Son. You know the Word that was with him, John chapter 1, verse 1. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So what does that even mean? God the Father sits on a throne. We can read that in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. God the Son, the eternal Word, has a throne as well. And God the Father looks to the Son and says, God, thy throne is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Verse number 9. Thou, again, this is God talking to the Son. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. You're like, whoa, Brother Carlos, I didn't even know the Bible even taught that. That's right. That's why I'm a Bible believer, and many of you guys are church religious folk. You see, I don't trust traditions. I'm not going to get too dogmatic on the writings of men and denominational interpretations and so on and so forth. I'm going to trust the Bible. And Jesus said, and I mean, not Jesus, but obviously the Apostle John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, if I believe in Jesus, he's going to give me the power to become a son of God. I do well, friend. You do well, friend. If you trust the Bible, God said to the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So I'm just reading you the Bible. I'm just reading you the Bible. It's pretty clear. All right. Last place, 1 Timothy 3:16. Now, this is going to trip you out, because so far you got some Bible. You're kind of challenged if you don't believe that Jesus is God, for those of you guys that are watching out there. But for those of us that are, we're like, woohoo, preach it, brother. Verse number 16. But I got to tell you ahead of time. Got to have a King James Bible, because if you don't, this verse is not going to read, because it comes from some messed up manuscripts. I'll get into that later, but here's why. Verse number 16. Bible tells me, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Are you ready now? An angel was manifested in the flesh. No, that's not what it says. A created being. That's not what it says. God was manifest in the flesh. That's right. Paul the Apostle penned these very words. The same Paul, whose name is also Saul, who was persecuting the church back there in Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 9. This Hebrew of Hebrews, this Pharisee, was a zealous Jew. A little after the time that Christ ascended back to heaven, he was wreaking havoc against early Christians because they believed in this triune teaching, or this Trinity teaching nature of God, that God and Jesus can be worshipped as one. He didn't believe that. He believed, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, Deuteronomy 6:4. He didn't understand because he wasn't born again. But praise God that in his great mercy, Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, right, in Acts chapter 9. And there's one famous question that Paul asked him. He said, Who art thou, Lord? That's what he said. And then Jesus responds, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he, boy, was he trembling. You know what he asked? Are you God? And Jesus said, I am Jesus. Jesus did not deny that. And Paul, man, boy, he clearly understood it then. So then you have this great defender of the Christian faith, early century. He clearly understood now this doctrine that there is this Godhead. There's the Father, there is the Son, and then there is the Holy Spirit. These three are one. And this is what he penned to Timothy. He says, Timothy, this is this controversy, but you know what? It's not a controversy. This is this mystery of godliness. Without controversy, great is this mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God, and he was manifest in the flesh. He was born in a human body by miraculous fulfillment of prophecy back there in the book of Isaiah. You know, that same God that spoke in diverse means, right, to the people of Israel, Hebrews chapter 1. And when he came into this world, he preached, boy, and he was teaching this world some good news, and he was telling men to repent, calling on us to believe in him, because one day he's going to come back, friend, and he's going to judge you. He's going to judge you if you received him or not, because you see, that sin is the problem between you and God. God had no other way and no other means to offer you an opportunity of reconciliation, that is forgiveness, and to be reconnected back to him, than by sending a part of himself, that is the Word, that is who we now know to be his Son, Jesus. He needed to live as a man in your place, because as a man, again, doesn't matter if you're a woman, we're just talking about general mankind, you fail God. I fail God. You and I fall short of that glory of God. Remember that glory of God. Jesus, the glory of God, John 14, Hebrews 1, he is the express image of his person and his glory. You see, we're not as good as God. We're not as holy as God. We're not as just as God. And you know who you are. You know you've sinned. You know you had some lustful, vain imaginations. You've committed adultery in your heart when you lusted after the opposite sex. You've lied, regardless of how young you were or old you are even now. We hate people. We get angry with people. People have committed so many, many things that obviously offend the God of the Bible. So there was no other way. No blood sacrifice couldn't do it. Good works can't do it. But one work, and that was the work of the cross on Calvary. Jesus Christ, the God-man, he died on that cross to possibly die in your place. You see, when I say possibly, I'm just saying it's up to you. You now have the choice to either accept or reject God, the Savior. He wants to be your Savior, friend. And I've just proven to you right now, without a shadow of a doubt, man, that's who he is. All right, hope that was a blessing to you. And man, that was a blessing to me. All right, Brother Carlos tuning out, y'all. Peace! Read that Bible.